correlation to everything that we're going through today, and a direct correlation to that man's field, Mr. Mark Morano, who's on our Skype Maker hotline now. Mark, we haven't talked in 9 months. Let me make sure I get my my camera set up here so that we can get you on camera here. There's a direct relation to what she is talking about and what you are going to be dealing with here and have been dealing with at the UN and other places with these climate change wackos. The actual science of the matter doesn't matter to these people. And now we discover it's not just in climate change. It's not just in atmospherics and geology and what have you here. This is in the medical field. This is in the human biology field. They're Michael Manns in the human biology field. How are you, buddy?
Good. How's it going, Mike? Thanks for having me on. First of all, just a point of order. I'm heading to Glasgow, Scotland in 2 days to be at the UN Climate Summit all next week. So I will be there when Kerry's there, John Kerry. I have the official credential letter from the United Nations. So I will be in the belly. I was going to say the beast, but I think that's too tame. I will be in the belly of the evil. So I think the way I describe it.
You'll be in the belly of the dragon. You know, you and I met you back in 2005, and yeah. You were working for then Senator Jim Inhofe. And most people forgot this or don't remember this. There was 2 votes in the House of Representatives and 1 vote in the United States Senate that stood between all of us and a carbon tax scheme that was Henry Waxman and John McCain's grand dream. The thing is, it went down in flames in 2006, thanks to Senator Inhofe. They never stopped trying, though, do they? And they're right back at they're at the gate, aren't they, again?
Yeah, well, let's start with what you're talking about, Mike. In 2003, 2005 and 6, 2008, 2009, 2010, they tried to get the cap and trade carbon taxation thing through to Congress and Senate multiple times. It ultimately died because the Democrats couldn't sign on at the time. And so it was actually killed in the U.S. Senate in 2010. And then we went through several years of quiet, mostly because of the ClimateGate scandal, which literally showed the top United Nations scientists colluding together in order to create essentially a campaign narrative that they were going to have one message and they were going to crush any dissent. And I think you're referring to COVID earlier. That's exactly the same scheme, same campaign is being run by public health on COVID to support lockdowns, mask mandates, vaccine mandates. I have whole reports in my new book coming out on the Great Reset, which won't be out till next summer now because of supply chain issues created by the lockdowns and a whole host of other issues. This was the Great Reset, essentially, was decades of failed climate scare that they tried. It was the same solution that they tried for COVID, but they couldn't get anywhere with climate. One virus comes along, cuts apart ideology, party line, terrified, you know, most of the world based on scary climate COVID models. And they ended up achieving the vision of the Green New Deal and the climate agenda almost overnight through an unelected bureaucracy by declaring a viral emergency, a public health emergency. Climate activists now, and we're going to see this next week, they are poised to exploit that, and they want to declare a climate emergency and can do the same type of things they did with COVID under the name of climate.
All right, talk to me about ClimateDepot.com. 2 weeks ago, you had a headline top of the page for about 5 days, and it was a report that you had, and you quoted it at length. It was a report that someone had written about how the lockdowns and the mask mandates and the vaccine mandate and all these other tyrannies, this was to get us used to this stuff so they could come behind it and they could do the passport and then the carbon credits and all that. Tell our audience about that.
Yeah, well, what this whole thing is, it's a form of social conditioning. So what they've done, if you go back before March 2020, even Anthony Fauci, and I quote him in January of 2020, he says, have you seen what China is doing? They've shut down entire cities, locking people in their homes. We could never do that here in New York and San Francisco. Can you imagine those cities being locked? And Fauci also said we could never do a vaccine mandate, blah, blah. Everything they never thought, the progressives never thought was possible, became reality. So what's happened is the social conditioning aspect of this In March 2020, prior to that, we never imagined that an unelected bureaucracy, which is what we dealt with, public health officials telling politicians this is the way it has to be, and politicians just basically going, yes, master, we couldn't go to weddings, funerals. You couldn't have backyard barbecues. If you had too many people, your neighbor could call, report you to authorities, and you could have your utilities cut off, as we found out in Los Angeles. You couldn't have leave your house if a stay-at-home order unless it was for an essential service. You couldn't go to certain places unless they were deemed essential services. So church and the gym were out, which is odd during an emergency, especially a public health emergency. But you could go to Walmart all day. Amazon saw profits. Largest transfer of wealth from the poor and middle class to the elite class. In fact, the corporations and billionaire class, literally, not only were they not unscathed by the lockdowns, their wealth grew dramatically. In fact, I have charts that show the wealth that was lost by the middle class and poor, almost exact numbers made it over to the billionaire and the corporate class, which loves this. So what they've done is they've conditioned us that we can only do what government allows us to do at that moment. And we're Americans. We've never even dealt with this. But people were willing. I met conservative Republicans. Oh, yeah, no, the lockdown needed to go on. Oh, this is serious and blah, blah, blah. I was opposed to it from the beginning. You can find videos of me from March 2020. I had followed the works of Michael Fumento, who was an incredible author, Science Under Seas. He wrote about Fauci decades ago, the whole myth of heterosexual AIDS. I had followed the public health war on vaping, the harm reduction, how they literally would lie at all these vaping lung illnesses. No, there was nothing. These were illegal black market vapes, but the FDA, CDC knew it, but they just exploited it because they were going to regulate. They want to get into the profits of it the way they did with tobacco. So This was the ultimate conditioning, and now Americans have been conditioned to it. And now, you know, we now have four vaccines in order to be qualified as fully vaccinated, but people accept it. I think it's the greatest advancement, loss of liberty, greatest advancement of the state in the history of our country on a general wide population, the COVID lockdowns. Now, obviously, there's the Japanese internment camps, segregation, slavery, but in terms of the general population just being crushed by government, there's no parallel in American history, other than maybe a very short, you know, wartime rationing system. But now this is now the permanent lockdown.
No, we saw this back. You talk about Michael Fumento, and yeah, he has been writing about this stuff for decades. You know, before Michael Fumento, we actually had some smart people that were in politics. Once upon a time, Dixie Ray Lee was the governor of the great state of Washington. She wrote What was it called?
Oh, the name of the book, don't remember. She was a nuclear physicist. She was phenomenal. In fact, she's the one that steered me from reading her works and listening to her. I was a Republican, except when it came to environmental policy throughout the 80s. I didn't like James Watt. I was against like the road building and national parks. I was worried about the Amazon rainforest. It was Dixie Lee Ray who literally explained about the Amazon rainforest. And I started investigating it. I ended up doing a documentary on the clear-cutting the myths of the deforestation issue and all the species extinction they claimed. They were claiming, you know, 5 football fields a minute were being cleared. Well, it was also being regenerated. So, and even the New York Times admitted a few years, I had a documentary came out in 2000. New York Times a few years later said, for every acre of rainforest cut, 50 are being regenerated. Studies show that you can't distinguish between plant and animal species after 7 years. So she was a very important figure. In fact, she went to the Rio Earth Summit to do, that's where I first found out about her works and writings in 1992. Very important figure in the free market environmental movement.
And then recently, I watched a presentation about the Amazon rainforest. You know, Pope Francis picked up on this in his ridiculous synod and did the whole thing about the rainforest is being exterminated, the fires in the rainforest. And they did satellite imagery and they showed this and that or the other. Nothing could have been further from the truth. The rainforest is the gift that keeps on giving the whole millennia long, Clark. It just, well, the Amazon... But they explain the rainforest so quickly. It is so large, you can take the United States and put it inside of the rainforest. You can't deforest it.
Yeah, and the key here is that the biggest threat to the rainforest is poverty. So the biggest threat were these poor agrarian farmers in Brazil and slash and burn agriculture, going the land. And by the way, this was a threat 500 years ago. If you had a satellite imaging of the Amazon, you would see the indigenous peoples slashing and burning and deforesting and killing off species. So the key is, the biggest key right now that why the rainforests are not the threat anyone thinks they are is because people are leaving the jungles and swamps and wetlands, and they're moving to suburban and urban areas. People don't want to live in, I mean, I toured this. I made two trips to the Amazon, toured the jungles. I was covered in bugs and welts. I mean, it sounds romantic, and it's great if you go for a couple days and you put on a pith helmet. I call it the white supremacy vest. You know, you always see that in the old Tarzan movies. The European come in with the colonial vest, you know, but that's a fun trip if you do that. But if you actually live there, not so much. And so that's why people are leaving. And even the New York Times has admitted that now. So that was an environmental scare that faded. And guess what rose after the deforestation? And it was climate. Climate came on really strong after 2000. You don't hear about Sting's rainforest concert anymore. I went to that. Even I interviewed Donald Trump in the 90s at a Sting rainforest concert. That's how uncontroversial the rainforest issue was. Disney was involved, all the children's movies, the National Geographic. But then it just sort of went poof. And of course, until Bolsonaro in Brazil, then they resurrected the rainforest scare because they didn't like him. Even though deforestation was down from previous years, they claimed he was doing unprecedented, you know, fires there. But essentially, climate arose from that. Al Gore's film 2006 crystallized it, the UN reports. And now climate became jealous when COVID took over. But climate activists have now figured out a way to piggyback on COVID. And I'm not making this up, Mike. And this is in my presentation. I just gave a big speech in Las Vegas, and I'm also giving a speech at the UN summit, although not in the summit. We're doing a counter climate skeptic rally in Glasgow on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. I'll have more at Climate Depot. But essentially, they want to add, climate activists want to add, climate change is a cause of death to death certificates. And Bill Gates has already said the death toll from climate change will exceed the death toll from COVID. They want CNN Daily Counter of climate death as part of the hysteria so they can literally transform not just America, but the global order.
All right. Mark Morano is the founder of ClimateDepot.com. What year did you start Climate Depot?
Started Climate Depot in 2009, after I left the U.S. Senate Environment Public Works.
Okay, and what's the latest book that you published?
The first one was A Politically Incorrect Guide to Climate Change, came out in 2018, updated 2019 to include a bonus chapter on Green New Deal. And my new book this year, forward by Mark Stein, which is worth reading for his hilarious forward, is called Green Fraud, Why the Green New Deal is Even Worse Than You Think. And it's a hardcover. I've graduated to the hardcover, hardbacks.
You're right. Anything with an intro, but I don't have to read Morano, but I love reading Stein. No, I'm kidding. all right, let's talk climate for a minute. Okay, let's go back in time. There's some events happening right now that give you and I a really good chance to talk some science. And Richard Lenzen, who's the guys at the Huntsville Institute?
Roy Spencer, John Christie, Richard Lindzen's MIT, yes.
Brilliant men studying this stuff, give you the actual facts, break the data down, help you understand. We really can't control any of this, but there are some great forces at work. Let's talk about 1992. In July of 1992, a volcano in the Philippines erupts. It's one of the biggest eruptions since Krakatoa.
Pinatubo,
since Krakatoa. The estimates are 30 million to 50 million hectotons of stuff goes into the atmosphere. What happens in the 1990s? The global temperatures go down three to five degrees, depending on where you're at. So is it true then that the warming that we began to see when drove the hysteria in 2001 through 2005, that was just going back to normal at post-Pinatubo, correct?
Yeah, well, there's no way you can say correct or incorrect. There's a lot of theories on that, yes. But what the problem is that one side deems that they have the exclusive knowledge on science, and they declare it CO2. And anyone who dissents is an evil denier who reforms to be deplatformed, defunded, fired, and silenced. You're exactly right. There was a cooling in the 90s, throughout the mid-90s. And then we had this giant El Nino. So they picked the low point of cooling in many cases. One of the things they also do, the environmental groups, they'll pick 1970, which is the end of the height of the man-made global cooling scare of the 70s, the coming ice age. And they'll say, we've warmed this much since 1970, which is intellectually dishonest. Or they'll pick the post-volcano area you're talking about in the 90s. So they tried to show enhanced warming. And what they also did is they would say it's warmed this much in the last, you know, 7 years, and our predictions are dire warming, you know, by 2050, by 2100. In 1995, the New York Times predicted most of the East Coast beaches. I just had this up yesterday on Climate Depot. It's actually up today still. Most of the beaches by 25 years from 1995 would be wiped out on the East Coast. They were quoting experts warning of that. And of course, that never happened. So what happened is someone says, is it warming? What's causing it? First of all, the UN has a show of hands. It's expert judgments by hand-picked activist scientists. In the case that come out for the actual scientific case, it's about 52 scientists that do it. There's no big reviews. This is a nonsense. Every line of their summary has to be agreed by bureaucrats, politicians. It's a complete political organization masquerading as a science body. But real simple, we have probably cooled since the Roman warming period of about 0 AD. We probably are the same or cooled since the medieval warming period from 900 to 1300 AD. But since modern thermometers went on in 1850, the end of the little ice age, we've warmed, maybe a degree and a half. And that is what the basis of the fear is. But they're not looking at the several thousand year, and they're not looking at the geologic history of the Earth. If you go back, and I have the charts at Climate Depot, from the government data showing that we're in one of the coolest periods with lowest CO2s in the Earth's geologic history. 90% of Earth's history has had higher CO2 and has had temperatures too warm to support ice at either pole. So geologically, we're not in emergency. In thousands of years, we're not in emergency. In hundreds of years, we're not in emergency. And that includes sea level rise showing no acceleration. Steve Koonin, the Obama Energy Department, talks about 80 years with no trends. Yeah, sea level's rising, and it's been rising for nearly 10,000 years since the end of the last ice age. The key is it accelerating? And yes, it is accelerating, the sea level rise, but only in their scary climate models. They're the Neil Ferguson version of the COVID scare. They just did the same thing. When current reality fails to alarm, make scarier and scarier predictions of the future. We see that with polar bears at or near historic population high. But don't worry, it's worse than we thought for polar bears, because their predictions of 50 years are much worse than their predictions of 50 years just 5 years ago. But anyway, hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, droughts, wildfires, no trend or declining trends on climate timescales. It is the greatest con they have going as we go into this Glasgow summit next week.
Okay, let me go back just a little bit. Our mutual friend David Archibald wrote a book.
Yes,
about how we should be welcoming an increase in CO2.
Yes.
Yesterday, I saw on Climate Depot, you reported, or one of your contributors reported, the greatest increase in CO2. There's more CO2 in the atmosphere than there has ever been in recorded history, to which I said, what that means? Yeah. That means abundant plant life. That means that's good. And that was Archibald's point. You want the CO2 to go up, and who cares what the source is? Because the plants eat it, you'll see more green than you had ever seen before. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Even NASA studies are showing the greening of the Earth. The deserts are shrinking, plant, animal, and you could look at every bit of agricultural production booming worldwide. It's also because of better farming practices, modern techniques, but even the natural forest, everything is booming because of a rising CO2. And the climate activists will acknowledge that, but you know what they say, Mike? Well, we're going to have a problem. Weeds are going to be runaway, invasive species. They turn it into that. It's kind of like, your son is growing very tall, but he's going to have to deal with growing pains at night. Sometimes his legs might hurt because he's growing too fast.
Okay, so there is a measurable increase in CO2, but there's something else going on, and you mentioned it. Okay, so there's a couple of solar cycles that we know of that happen. There is the Dalton minimum, and there's the Maunder minimum. There are guys that write for you. Anthony Watts is one of them, and Watts up with that, and several others that you quote them, who say that this is the most silent the sun has been since the last minimum. That this solar cycle, if it continues, this is also going to have a significant impact on the global climate. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. In fact, it's actually many members of the Russian Academy of Sciences, Japanese scientists. I've done a whole report on the scientists predicting global cooling. And one of them is a friend of mine, Don Easterbrook, who's a geologist from Washington State. He actually, by the way, for his work, is like essentially banned from talking about science on his old university. This is how bad the woke universities are. They treat him as though he's a Holocaust denier, which is exactly the way they want to. But essentially, the dimming of the Earth, the spotless sun, along with the fact that we haven't had a cooling, it's probably since the end of the Little Ice Age in 1850, which was blamed on lower solar activity. This is now, we have to wait to see what happens, because again, climate is complex, hundreds of factors, but there are many credentialed expert scientists who have been predicting this. And I spend a whole chapter in my book on this very topic and on the 1970s global cooling scare. At the time, before fossil fuels caused global warming, they believed fossil fuels were causing man-made global cooling. Our aerosols from fossil fuels and soot were blocking the sun, causing global dimming, to the point where scientists wanted to put soot on the black soot on the Arctic to help it, you know, to help it from freezing up too much so it would absorb more sunlight. We had CIA reports warning about essentially global cooling, coming ice age. We had Newsweek saying we had a tipping point. We had no time to act because of the cooling coming. And we had every weather, bad weather event from floods and droughts blamed on man-made global cooling. And they, and it was just, it was an incredible time, because the solution to all of this at the time was the same as the solution today. Wealth redistribution, sovereignty limiting treaties, more government control and limits on energy. The exact same thing. They pivot from global cooling version of a Green New Deal in the 70s to a global warming version of a Green New Deal. So global cooling, if you strip away the CO2 hysteria, we are overdue for the next ice age. And that's what, and I quote extensively from the Leonard Nimoy book. Some of the same scientists, by the way, Leonard Nimoy did In Search Of, a documentary on the next ice age coming. Oh, yeah. Some of the same scientists promoting the coming ice age in the 1970s flipped and then promoted the CO2, you know, hothouse global warming theory. They're shameless.
Okay, so Mark Morano of ClimateDepot.com. You should visit that site every day, especially if you have questions when you hear the alarmists and the hysteria that the world's setting itself on fire. Al Gore has reappeared. Greta Thunberg hasn't gotten her way. And it's just a blah, 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 blah. And I have.
By the way, she's right. That's what I just did a video. That's our message in Glasgow, one of our messages.
Blah, blah, blah.
Climate skeptics agree with Greta Thunberg. That's the bottom line. This is the first time we can wholeheartedly agree with her. She's now realizing, as a committed ideological activist, that this is all, can I curse on the air?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, this is all bullshit. Every UN summit is a bunch of world leaders talking bullshit to collect money. Do you know how, I'm not vaxxed, Mike. You might think I'm an unscientific rube for not choosing the vaccine, but you know why I can go to Scotland? Because the UN has waived the EU requirement for vaccine mandates. I wouldn't be allowed to go otherwise, because they want the poor developing nations to come to this summit, because they want to dangle $100 billion in climate aid from the wealthy countries to the poor countries. And here's the most perverse, and those countries haven't had the opportunity to get the vaccine. So I'm flying in on that, even though I'm from a first world country, which is, by the way, a racist white supremacist thing. You're not allowed to say first world or developing, you know, but you can't say third world anymore. But essentially, what they're doing at this summit is they want to pay these poor leaders of these poor nations not to develop. I interviewed a South African development activist years ago at the at a summit in Durban, South Africa. It's the most immoral thing. They're going to, UN funds are going to go to these corrupt governments, many times in Africa, South America, Asia, and they're going to pay these leaders to keep their people locked in poverty. Whoever gets to keep people locked in poverty the most, because it lowers your emissions. Remember, lockdowns are good for the earth because they lowered emissions. UN summits have, climate summits have called for planned emissions, planned recessions to fight global warming. That's what they're going to be doing in these developing countries. So that's the backstory. They're trying to bribe third world dictators, again, a racist term to say that, developing world leaders, I'll say, in order to go along with the UN agenda. And the developing world is going to be out with their hands out begging, because they want this money. And it's not to help the people. It's to help ensure their reelection, build monuments to themselves, build stadiums named after them. This is how this money, the slush fund, gets moved around in the UN.
Well, there's a great, there's a movie out. Maybe you've seen it. It chronicles all this and why they do it. It's called Poverty Inc.
And yes, I remember that from years ago, yes.
It's a great film because it shows that keeping poor nations poor keeps rich people rich. And we need to get over there and feed the people. And they go in and interview the people in Haiti, for example. They go, stop sending us rice. We grow it here. We don't need your rice. Yes. And yet the Clinton Foundation goes down there and does it. They all participate in this. It's one of the greatest hoaxes and scams there is. All right, I only got you for a half an hour, so I got a final. I want to talk to you about a book that came out, and I know you've interviewed him. Maybe you can pass my info along to him. Michael Schellenberger. This is the ultimate climate doom whistleblower. What did Schellenberger do before he got religion, and then what did he do when he got religion?
Michael Schellenberger is probably, next to Steve Koonin, the Obama energy scientist, physicist, is probably the most important figure in the entire climate energy debate today. Michael Schellenberger was essentially a Marxist progressive, so Marxist that he supported the Sandinistas in Nicaragua. I believe he even went down there, if I'm not mistaken. But he came up with one of the original Green New Deals 15 years ago. And he actually got funding for it and was able to see firsthand how it failed. This is a guy who Time magazine called a hero of the left. Well, fast forward, he gets completely disillusioned, not by necessarily ideology at first, although he's now there now, because a new book out on San Francisco, going after how the woke essentially is destroying and harming the poor people and homeless people. But he was able to experiment in real time and see how unreliable energy dependent on weather is the disaster for the environment. It's a disaster for Americans. It's a disaster for wealth creation. So he came out as essentially a whistleblower. And by the way, Michael Moore came out around the same time and did a fantastic movie about the folly of wind and solar. But Michael Schellenberger, on every single issue, he has turned against the United Nations. He's turned against all the scientific claims. He's turned against all this, the Green New Deal, the UN Paris. This is a guy who knows where the bodies are buried. He's one of the most articulate spokesmen, and he has the credentials of being that convert. And he has been completely canceled and made a persona non grata by his former friends.
What's his book called?
This new one's called San Francisco. The first
San
one,
San Francisco.
San Francisco. I can't remember. I could look it up, but I should give him a plug. But yeah,
we'll find it. And the reason I wanted to bring this up is that look, these people make millions, dude. This is a lucrative business. Being an activist pays. It pays.
Yeah, by the way, it pays. It's called Apocalypse Never: Why Environmental Alarmism Hurts Us All. My apologies for forgetting that. We're doing too many book titles.
Okay. All right. By the way, no one here in this building is vaxxed, and they're never going to be.
Okay.
We don't want to get anywhere near that crap. Well, let me ask you a final question here. Well, or two things. Okay. So you're going to Glasgow. It's probably the most boring city in all Scotland, I'll tell you that. if you want a good time and you want real people, get on a train. It's about 60 minutes. Go to Inverness.
Inverness. Okay.
You'll find real Highlanders speaking real Scottish brogue.
I've never been there. I've never been to Scotland, so I'm looking forward to that. Okay.
Inverness is a cool little town. Now, they probably ruined it since I was there, but it was the best. It had the most real life Scottish people that are left in Scotland are in Inverness, in that area. Okay.
Okay. I have a right-hand drive, stick-shift manual car, which I'm excited to drive. It's going to be fun to shift on the left. I guess the clutch will be on the same side, but the transmission won't be. So I've never done that before.
When I was there,
maybe I can drive there. Yeah.
When I was in 2014, I drove one. You'll get it'll come back from boyhood. Yeah. You'll remember. My question is, because you dabble in so much of this science, because there is this attempt. I was making fun of it earlier today. Do you climate change? Take this man, Great Reset, to be your lawfully wedded apocalypse. All right. Tell me your personal take on this. Why is the global cabal and the oligarchs, why and all the businesses that they have snared into this net, why are they trying to get this stuff in the arms of every living creature on this planet, including now 5 to 11-year-olds. What do you think that they want? Is this just a control mechanism, a trial run? Is there something in it? What do you think?
I don't necessarily think there's something in it, but I think there's risks involved to it. But what is in it for them is the idea. Now you need a fourth vaccine. This is part of their vaccine. This is all part of the Chinese social credit system. In other words, in order to be an obedient citizen of the state, unless you're an obedient citizen, you don't get privileges. You don't get, at one point, Obama administration, O'Biden administration, we'll call it, and Fauci are talking about no domestic travel without a vaccine passport. They're talking about, you know, you can't eat in restaurants. So they want to, the idea is you must be like this, fealty to the state, or you don't have, they want to accept that principle. Now it's going to be kind of like Bill Gates. This is his vision. We are now Microsoft operating system. It's going to be every 6 months we have to get antivirus software updates with these injections. This is what they want. There's talk among the more wacky left, which is not mainstream yet, but the idea is, I profile this in the book and in my movie Climate Hustle, giving people altruistic drugs. You don't care about the environment, we'll give you drugs to make you care. You love eating meat, we're going to give you a meat patch that's essentially going to make you hate meat the same way like a nicotine patch makes you hate cigarettes. I guess it's called antabuse or whatever that's called. So this is where it could be headed. It's going to be about control and making obedient citizens that go along with the state. You don't agree with the state, you are a castaway. You're going to lose your job. You're not going to be able to eat in restaurants. You're not going to be able to go to shows, movies. You're not going to be able to travel. We're there. This is the Great Reset. This is why the Davos Economic Forum, the head of it, said COVID is the perfect time now to do a great reset of capitalism, but it's way beyond that. Jane Fonda, the activist, I interviewed her at Capitol Hill doing a Green New Deal support thing. She said COVID is the greatest, is God's gift to the left. I would argue it's not from God, but it is a gift, the greatest gift the left has ever received, declaring an emergency and then bypassing any semblance of democracy. This is Woodrow Wilson's administrative state come true. This is what we dealt with in world wars, fighting this. Unelected bureaucracies that are going to be able to rule every aspect of our life. We're seeing it now. I don't know that there's a way out without, except the only way out is mass resistance. You have Republicans are a joke on Capitol Hill, a few good senators like Rand Paul fighting this. But this is where we're facing. This is all about, the idea is that left to our own devices, human beings, we will create racism, inequity, we'll destroy the planet. We need every aspect of our life managed. Climate lockdowns are coming from COVID lockdowns. Car travel ban, private vehicle ownership. We have BlackRock and Chinese firms buying up middle-class homes. They're becoming renters now. Bill Gates, the largest farmland owner, NBC News reporting it, not... this is not some conspiracy thing. NBC News reported that Bill Gates, largest farm owner in America, his big agenda, he drinks water made from feces. He wants to stop meat eating. And he's all about the vaccine. So it is all about control. People need to, that's what my next book is about, is the permanent lockdown, the Great Reset. And I just want to make one comment. 2020 is the year that conspiracy reality outnumbered conspiracy theories. In my book, in my writings, I quote mainstream sources, NBC News, CBS News, CNN. I try to do that because I've showed people that this is not, this is their own words, what they're saying and what they're doing. So it's an amazing thing that we're coming upon. Climate is now, it's going to piggyback on with COVID. But right now they're going, and it's all going into the banking and finance system. You're not going to be able to finance energy systems. We have General Flynn being denied a visa because they don't agree with his politics. People like Candace Owens denied a COVID test because she didn't support lockdowns. They're denying medical care for people who don't, you know, have vaccines for organ transplants. They're going to make us obedient citizens. This is going to be very hard to fight back. Because there's no longer, we're no longer in a democracy. By giving the democracy this much power, they, remember, the climate activists loved China's one-party rule. Yep. UN chief, New York Times. We are now living, this is not future Chinese communist one-party rule. We're living in it now. They are now, it's not going to matter who we elect, governor, senator, Congress, president, because the administrative state behind the scenes, unelected, are now going to rule the day through these emergency declarations. New York, gun violence, the Biden administration, misinformation, public health threat, climate emergency, Chuck Schumer's urging Biden to declare and suspend democracy. We're in it. I don't see how we get out of this without mass defiance. Forget the Republican Party. It's the biggest joke that's ever come along. It's actually a hindrance to us at this point because they're so weak and pathetic.
Well, with that, I think I'm going to go find a bridge and jump.
Yes, do it. Count your eyes out. What I'm saying is it comes from us. The Berlin Wall didn't fall because, you know, the East German government decided it's time to give people liberty after 40 years of Soviet domination. It fell because people no longer gave their consent. So here's what I say. Watch New York. It's up to you, New York. If they fail, accept these vaccine passports, That's a really bad sign.
Well, they are, they're in a standoff. You know, you've got the trash pickup workers now, and the Teamsters Union going like, nope, we're not going to pick your trash up. And the people are going like, well, I put it out. You have to pick it up. I'm like, no, we're not going to pick it up.
We need mass resistance. We need to basically shut the country down over these vaccine. We cannot allow this. This is the last stand. I mean, it's the last best. I don't want to be like a climate alarmist saying this is the last chance. But this is the key point. This is the inflection point. If we can't stop the vaccine mandates, then I think it opens the floodgates, because this is it. If you can't stop them from injecting you with something for political reasons, this is not about public health. This is the joke at this point. In fact, the most highly vaccinated areas have the highest hospitalizations right now.
That's right. That's right. And we're going to find out a lot about that, too. A lot is coming out about that. All right. So you leave for Scotland in 2 days. I will look forward to your reporting from the floor. They're actually going to—
Anything short of me being arrested and detained is going to be a failure. I just want to declare. No, I'm kidding. I've already had that happen at other UN summits. I'm not doing that.
They'll be tacking up wanted posters of you on telephone poles again. You see, I have the advantage here of most people that interview you. I'd known this guy for 15 years. All right, brother. Well, we'll pray for your safe travel and safe stay and safe return. When do you think the Great Reset book? You said May?
Well, originally it was scheduled for February, but because of all the printing delays, it got scheduled. Now it's not till August it will be out. So it's available on Amazon for pre-order. You can look at the description of it and the cover, the artwork, everything's done. It's just that we can't get it to the public, can't get the publisher to spit it out.
Is this Regnery?
It's Regnery, yes.
Wow.
My third book with Regnery. So yeah, it's 3 books in 4 years, but they're all, it's all sort of the same theme. It started just pure climate, and then it was Green New Deal climate, and then COVID reset, and now the next one sort of combines it all. It's an fast evolving thing, but it all means one thing. We've never, I have a great quote from Milton Friedman, the great economist in there. Throughout the history of mankind, the whole history of mankind essentially is people living under oppressive regimes. That's been the majority, the overwhelming majority of the history of mankind. So our little blip of the last 200 plus years or so of freedom and liberty and democracy is not the norm. And my fear is that we're heading back into a sort of form of feudal serfdom. And so it really is. I mean, we're going to be as a great reset, the World Economic Forum, where every president bows before, except Donald Trump gave a great speech his last year there. But essentially, they say you'll be happy. You'll own nothing. You'll be happy. All your food will be delivered by drones. And they're behind this. The climate people are behind the companies doing the digital vaccine passports. We are following basically communist China. I mean, this is the bottom line, is we follow them on the lockdowns. We're following them on all the COVID stuff. World Health Organization is a tool of them. Fauci's a tool of them. It's incredible. So I go into that whole history of China. It does feel very depressing, but the only hope we have, forget the Republican Party, is mass resistance. That's all we can do. I mean, I personally argue at hotels. I've been threatened to be arrested in CVS's. I tried almost never to wear a mask. I did have to wear a mask to fly and a few other places if I wanted to get something, I had to get something done, especially with government. But private entities, I always invoked health exemptions, and they said, well, what's your health exemption? I'm like, first of all, you can't ask. Second of all, my health exemption is I'd be too damn pissed off if I had to put a mask on. So it's an anger-related health exemption. Why can't you use mental health for health exemption?
There you go. All right, brother, I'll look for the new book. Now, we can get your movie, Climate Hustle.
Yes. The other thing, as I mentioned, is Climate Hustle 2 came out last year. But of course, it was a different world in 2020 from our first film came out in 2016. We are at 800 theaters scheduled, 800, doubling of our first movie. But then COVID shut the theaters. So then we did an online release. But Facebook slammed us down. Social media slammed us. And here's the kicker. Amazon Prime, which originally had our movie for years, and we did very well, pay-per-view and ordering DVD. We said, will you do the second movie? They took it over, reviewed it. They said it failed our content review. And by the way, we didn't know you had your first movie. They immediately pulled the first movie. So not only did we not get the second one on Amazon, but by doing it, it alerted them to the fact that they still had our first one, and it was immediately pulled when they realized that.
And by the way, I don't want to one-up you, but Our Lady does one-up you. The Fatima movie that my buddy produced started with 60-some-odd theaters. We interviewed him, and he was gaining steam. Yeah. It was going to open in 600 theaters when the lockdown hammer came, and it happened on May the 13th, coincidentally, 2019 or 2020, and it never happened. So you weren't the only one that was kept out of the theaters. So
No, it happened. But then it had to rely on social, you know, the online media was it. But the movie's available. ClimateHustle2.com stars Kevin Sorbo as the host. I'm the reporter in it. We go through everything I just mentioned, including Great Reset, including child propaganda, including the guy who wants to shrink humans to fight climate change and shooting, eating bugs. And not, we have Nicole Kidman chowing down on bugs saying they taste like a hairy nut. This is the agenda to get us off meat. That's also what's happening now. You can't drive your car, which they don't want you to even own. And you can't eat meat now because it's so expensive. They're achieving what they want through the administrative state. You know, they right now we're begging OPEC to increase oil production. Russian oil imports at 11-year high. We're now more dependent on China than ever. Almost all solar panels come from China, made by Uyghur Muslim slaves. I mean, we are just screwed, screwed, and screwed. Okay, so I'm trying to give you optimism here today.
Right.
I failed.
We're gonna make. We're gonna take some optimism out of it. He is Mark Morano. The website is climatedepot.com. Last time you were on, I said, "Man, I can't wait like a year to talk to Morano again." I'm gonna put a reminder on my phone so I call you in three months. Good luck in Glasgow. God bless you, brother.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate it.
All right, you're very welcome.